Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. My name is Reverend Todd Laddick, and today I'm bringing you part two of a four-part series entitled Greater Than, with today's message specifically entitled Quick Fix, based off of Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. So let us dive into the Word today. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Amen. When we build a solid foundation instead of going for the quick fix, we can withstand the trials that will come our way. Anyone who has known me for any length of time knows my story and struggle with my weight and my health. In 2012, I embarked on a journey, a transformation that started with a 60-day juice fast. Didn't intend for it to be 60 days. I was just going to give a juice fast a try, and I ended up going for 60 days. At the outset, I was 306 pounds, type 2 diabetic, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, etc., so on and so forth. By the end of the juice fast, I had reversed all of those things, was off all medication per my doctor, and was down to 240 pounds. I had lost 66 pounds in that 60-day period. And from there, I lost even more weight. Eventually, I got down to my lowest weight, which was 185 pounds. Though I basically maintained my weight between 200 and 220. That's where I generally was for the majority of the time. And this was the case up until about 2 years ago when I attempted to go vegetarian instead of vegan because it was easier. Not because I necessarily desired to go vegetarian, but it was easier. You know, there would be times where my family would order out and they'd grab a pizza and I was stuck having to cook or scramble, you know, so it gets deflating after a while. And, you know, so I thought, well, that'd be a quick fix. I mean, I'm not eating meats. I'm not going to be putting too much cholesterol in. Who cares if I have a pizza here or there? Who cares if I, you know, eat a little cheese or some dairy? I mean, how is that going to really hurt me? Well, I ended up gaining a tremendous amount of weight back, to which I have since been unable to successfully lose. Not because I can't lose it, but a number of circumstances have hindered me in losing it. For instance, a year ago this past June, so like over a year ago, in June of 2019, I got into a car accident and tore my meniscus. And so I spent the entire late spring and all of summer and all of the whole year leading up to November, the whole rest of the year, basically unable to do much exercise because I couldn't really do it with a torn meniscus. Eventually got surgery on that. But you know, at that point, I had been not only out of shape, but had basically lost the desire even. It was far easier to make excuses to not exercise than to exercise. But anyway, I have all that to say. You add in the excuses, you add in the lack of desire to exercise, you add in stress and time, you add in circumstances, and I have since been unable to successfully lose weight. But why else have I been unsuccessful in losing weight? Well, because over the years, you know, at first when I lost all that weight, I was super strict with my diet and my exercise, and I tried to be as faithful of a vegan as I could be for my own health, and I was everything was going great, but But over the years, I began to cut corners rather than maintain the solid foundation of health I had built up for myself. I'd gotten down to 185, and my target weight was 175, and that I thought would have been the perfect weight. It's a little above where the BMI says I need to be, but as my doctor has told me, that's a little bit of an aggressive chart, so 175 would have been ideal for me. So I was only 10 pounds away from that, but again, I started to cut corners. And what started as a lifesaver for me, juice fasting, became a crutch to make up for slipping up in my lifestyle. I started to exercise less, started to buy more pre-prepared foods and things like that as they became more available. One quick fix that led to gaining weight, as I just said, was eating those prepared foods rather than making things from scratch from Whole Foods. As a pastor, my schedule is all over the place, and I often run out of time when it comes to cooking. You see, when I first started the juice fast, I was a youth pastor. And that's not to say I wasn't busy. I was. But I had more time in my day being a youth pastor and substitute teaching than I did when I ended up becoming a pastor of a church. So I would go for easily made, not so healthy foods because they were quick and easy, and I could come home late, just throw something in the microwave, make it, eat it, and bam. And then I would gain 20 pounds in the process of that bad, lifestyle that I was starting to slip into. And as I said, I would gain 20 pounds in the process, and then turn to the quick fix of a juice fast rather than sticking to a healthy vegan lifestyle. Now, juice fasts are very healthy. I'm not knocking juice fasts, and I will continue to do them. They're something that has really been helpful in my life, getting myself back on track and cleansing my body of toxins and things like that. But when you're using it as a way of making up for the weight you shouldn't have gained to begin with, that's not a healthy usage of juice fasting, and that's not a healthy lifestyle. And every day we are faced with decisions where we can choose between a quick fix, like I did, and an investment, in my case, the investment in taking the time to use Whole Foods and eat, strictly vegan and not buy pre-prepared foods that have God knows what in it. And I could have made that investing in time to exercise, not putting that aside so I can do more work, but putting the work aside because my health is important too. And you see, we all make these choices to have a quick fix or to cut corners, and then we betray ourselves and our ultimate well-being in the process of doing that. And we do this as a church community too. In this year's stewardship campaign, are we willing to step into the greater than? Now, if you're not a member of my church and you're listening to this, this can apply at whatever church you attend. As I've said at the end of at the end of every episode, if this is your church, so to speak, and I would certainly hope that this isn't just your church, and I would encourage you to go to a physical place and physically be in person if you're able to, though I recognize for many of us now in this pandemic, this may be your only option. So if it is, and you want to be a part of the Greater Than campaign and pledge and support our church, the links are all in the episode notes. If not, this can apply at any church you go to. So the question is, are we willing to step into the greater than by investing in the future rather than opting for the quick fix? Now, Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27 comes at the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and teaching the Lord's Prayer. This powerful sermon concluded with making a foundational investment. Jesus drew a contrast between a house built on a foundation of sand and one built on a foundation of stone. In regard to the foundation of sand, he speaks of those who hear Jesus' words but do not act on them. That's what he's ultimately speaking of. Those who act on his words but do not, or those who hear his words but do not act on them. Such people, Jesus says, are foolish. And of course, the house falls when trials and bad weather come. It cannot endure them because they're built on nothing but sand. In regard to the foundation of stone, Jesus speaks of those who act on his words. Such people, Jesus says, are wise. And of course, the wise person's house can weather difficult times. Why? Because it's built on a foundation of stone that isn't easily broken or worn or knocked down. It is quicker and easier to build on sand. Just throw in some boards into the sand, you know, build a plank, build up. It doesn't take as much work to flatten sand out and level sand out than it does to level a rock out to build on top of a rock. For me, it was easier in the moment to eat poorly, exercise little, and juice fast my mistakes away. Now, don't get me wrong. Again, juice fasting is healthy when done right, but it is not a quick fix for an unhealthy lifestyle. Which is why, starting today, I am reinvesting in learning to live healthier and in building that strong foundation of stone I once had. And I hope you'll all pray for me as I go through this. This isn't going to be easy. This is going to take time, and I'm going to need to endure through it. But that foundation is there from when I first lost weight, and I know what that feels like, and I know how good that is for me. And so I can weather through this, even though I've gotten so far off the track. But I do appreciate your prayers. Individually, I want to challenge you to be mindful in the coming week about each decision you make. Ask yourselves, is this a sand or a rock decision? What commitment are you willing to make to build a firm foundation of generosity in your own life, and for the ministry of whatever congregation you're a part of? We in the church need to avoid quick fixes as well. Every congregation I have been appointed to thus far were excited to have a younger pastor. Everybody thinks I'm, well, back then anyway, thought I was younger than I am. Every congregation I've been appointed to thus far, we're excited to have a younger pastor with a family. Why? Because they hoped it would be a quick fix to the lack of younger people in the church. And I mean, it seems logical. It seems intuitive. You have a younger pastor with a family. Well, they're going to hopefully attract younger families with kids to come to church because they'll relate more with that pastor because that pastor is younger and in their age range. So it's not illogical per se. But seldom does that actually work. People often expect me and all pastors to be the quick fix to every problem in the church. It's expected that the pastor will single-handedly grow the church's attendance, grow the church's youth program, grow the church's giving, grow the church's mission and outreach, and grow the church's reputation in the community, and grow the church's visitation and hospitality ministries. And of course, every pastor does work toward those things. No doubt, every pastor does work toward those things. But the pastor is a sheepdog. I heard another pastor say this, so I'm going to steal this quote from him. Good colleague of mine, and if he's listening, he knows who he is. But I'll name him. What the heck? Reverend Pat Celio, good Presbyterian minister. He often says that the pastor is the sheepdog, working for the good shepherd, a guide for Christ's flock, leading said flock on a long journey of faith, a journey that will continue on beyond any one pastor. And I misspoke. It's Reverend Dr. Pat Celio. Not that I think he's going to hold me accountable to that, but all the same, the pastor is not a quick fix. I am challenging our congregation, and I'm challenging you who are listening to this right now, to be mindful of every decision we make. Is this a sand or a rock decision? Is this something that is investing in the future of our church or your church, or something that is simply a quick fix that will eventually wash away in bad weather? Every church worships in a building. However, whether or not we have a strong foundation is something we must answer together. As I said last week, imagine what God could do with this ministry and our community if we together decided to have all hands on deck in ministry. Or in your church, imagine what God could do through your church if everybody had their hands on deck to do the work of Jesus Christ in your community. Imagine what God could do to change our communities and our world if we together increased how much prayer, presence, gifts, service, and witness we invested in our mission and ministries. Remember Jesus' words in Luke chapter 12, verse 48. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Much has been given to us. Joyfully give back so that others may know and be transformed by the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you and praise you for this challenging message, this hopefully inspiring but challenging message, to be reminded that you have given us much and from us you require much, that you are asking us to invest ourselves in your heavenly kingdom. You are asking us to invest ourselves in the community and the people of the community around us. And this isn't a one-person job. You didn't just call the pastor to do this. You didn't just call the lay leader to do this. You didn't just call the choir director or the church leadership to do this. You've called each and every one of us to do this. Help us and guide us and give us the strength to move from where we are to where you have created us to be. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. And with that said, friends, I want to thank you again for tuning in. It's always a pleasure to have you here. Again, if this is your church experience for the time being and you have no other and you want to support the ministries of First United Methodist Church of Newton, we'd love to have your support. It's a needy time for churches, no doubt, and every bit counts and helps us carry out the mission and ministry of Jesus Christ. If you have a church, then by all means, give to them. They need it as much as we do. Maybe even need it more. Who knows? So with that said, again, thank you for tuning in. Always happy to have you here. Check out the episode notes and the links therein. And remember, you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Amen. Go in peace.